Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
When you read through the Gospel of John, you just keep you're constantly reminded about his words. And so today we want to talk about the words of Jesus as we find them in the Gospel of John. And what we really want to concern ourselves with is this: what are we to do with the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John? What are we to do with the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John? And it's interesting, but they lay out in very chronological order. There are six instructions that we'll talk about today. And the first one is, we are to hear the words of Jesus. Turn to John chapter 8, and look at verse 47. We are to hear the words of Jesus. All right, so the Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So in this chapter, in John chapter 8, Jesus Christ is talking with the Pharisees, and you know, the exchange gets heated. He says to them in verse 44, you're of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. And they're accusing him of being born of fornication. So it's not a good scene at all. And yet he says in John chapter 8, verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words, indicating the first thing we need to do is we need to hear his words. You know, not everyone who hears the words of Jesus, in other words, right now, as you listen to me do this radio broadcast, you're hearing what I'm saying. In other words, you hear a voice and there are words coming out of my mouth and you can hear them audibly. But not everyone who hears the words of Jesus truly, and I'm going to say in quotes, hears the words. In other words, you hear an audible voice, you hear words coming out of my mouth, but you may not be hearing what I'm saying. It's kind of like a parent talking to a child. Can you hear me? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, they're fussing because the children don't seem to be listening. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Jesus said, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, except for those who were deaf, everyone had ears to hear. Proverbs tells us that God makes the seeing eye and he makes the hearing ear. Yeah, the ear is designed to hear. Unless you're deaf, you can hear me. And he said, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear, indicating that anybody with ears that work are to use them to hear what's being said. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 to 16, the Lord explains to us what the problem is. Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 to 16. Jesus Christ in Matthew 13 is giving lots of parables concerning the kingdom of heaven, and he says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. So here's some people who can hear, but they're not hearing. They're not listening. Hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should be understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your ears, for they or your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So the Lord, this is what's going on. There are some people whose ears are dull of hearing, and the dull ears and the unseeing eyes stem from a heart that has waxed gross. It's covered over. It's covered over where they don't get it. They can't perceive what they're seeing. They can't understand what they're hearing. You know, so when someone is speaking the words of Jesus, like I am right now, you need to listen, and you need to ask God to help you to understand. You need to attend to what Jesus is saying in his words. You gotta apply your heart to the words. You have to apply your mind and your thoughts to the words where what's being said goes in. Okay? So the first thing to do then with the words of Jesus, as we see in the Gospel of John, is that we are to hear the words. We are to hear the words. It's kind of like these cell phone connections sometimes don't complete, and so you'll hear one person on the other line saying, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" All right, well, I'll ask you the same thing. Can you hear me now? Open your ears. My parents used to say, "Get the wax out of your ears." What are they saying? Pay attention. Listen. Hear what's being said so that you can get those words inside of you and let them begin to work, okay? Second thing that we find, and again laid out in chronological order in the Gospel of John, is that we need to not only hear the words of Jesus, but we also need to receive and believe his words. I put those together because they're so intertwined. We need to receive and believe his words. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 at verse 47 and 48. John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48. If any man hear my words, okay, well, there we go. You hear them? Okay. If any man hear my words and believe not, so it's possible to hear the words and not believe them. I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, so there he is saying now, receive my words. In verse 47, he said, believe. In verse 48, he said, receive. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So it is possible then to believe and receive, or to receive and believe the words of God. That's what we need to do. And the reason is they are God's words. They're God's words. In other words, when Jesus was speaking here, he was very careful to speak those things that God wanted him to speak. Look at these two verses, John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 10, Jesus says, Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Listen to what Jesus said. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Well, if he doesn't speak of himself, those words that are coming out of his mouth, where are they coming from? Verse 24, same chapter, John chapter 14, verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Those are God's words. Jesus Christ is the one opening his mouth, but the Father is what's putting in his heart and in his mouth to speak. So you need to believe and receive what Jesus Christ said because they are God's words. In other words, it is one thing to hear the words of Jesus. It is another thing to receive them and to believe them. They won't work in your life unless you do them, unless you get them in there and receive them and believe them. All right, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 shows you why it is so important to believe what you're hearing. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, see it? That's what we're talking about. You first have to hear them. Hear the words, and then when you hear the words, you need to receive the words, all right? So he says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That believe. So you need to receive and believe his words, because when you believe his words, when you receive his words, that's when they work effectually in you. They don't work unless you receive them and believe them. Listen, Jehovah's Witnesses are all over these words, but they don't receive and believe them. They receive and believe what they've been taught by the Watchtower Society. They will say to you they believe what they're reading, but they don't. What they believe is what they've been taught about what you and I are reading. And man, there is a major difference between believing what you are taught about these words and believing the words. There is a major difference. And that's why those words don't work effectually in them. Oh, they're great apologists, and they're great at debating and teaching you what, you know, they've been taught and regurgitating all that has been carefully analyzed and prepared for them. Great at doing that, but not great at receiving and believing the words of Jesus Christ. Not at all. Same is true of Mormons, those that are actually trained in, you know, the missionary work and being able to talk to other people about what Mormons believe and what they want you to believe. But those are not the words of God working in them, because they haven't received them and believed them. And listen, the words of God won't work in your life unless you do receive and believe them. You see, the transforming work of the words of God takes place where? It takes place on the inside of you. As Jesus told the hypocritical Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, it doesn't do any good to change your outward appearance if your inside is corrupt. And so many times people want the outward appearance to look right. That's what you see when you see somebody like a religious person. You're seeing the outside. You can't see the inside, but Jesus tells you what's on the inside. And unless the Word of God gets in there to transform that inside, unless you change from the inside out, you're a hypocrite. And receiving and believing the words of Jesus is what accomplishes the transformation on the inside of you to change you into the person God wants you to be. So concerning the words of Jesus, the first thing you want to do is hear them. Hear them. Attend to them. Go. Listen, if you don't go to hear where they're being preached, if you don't go to hear where they're being taught, if you don't read them, they're not going to do you any good. And then you have to receive them and believe them. And when you do, then they begin their transforming work. So what's the third thing? The third thing to do with the words of Jesus, as we see in the Gospel of John, is we are to keep his words. Keep his words. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, watch it, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You need to keep the words of God. John chapter 17, look at verse 6. Jesus Christ is praying to his Father. Here's what he says. John 17:6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, watch it, and they have kept thy word. So we are to keep the words of God. What does that mean? You're to obey the words of God. You are to obey the words you hear. You are to obey the words you receive and believe. And you know what the trouble is? The trouble comes when you know what to do and refuse to do it. That's where the trouble is. In the Christian life, the trouble comes when you know what to do and you refuse to do what you know to do. And you know something? There is no amount of justification. That is, when you get ready to go to trouble, you justify it in your mind. Well, it's okay for me to do this because. There's no amount of justification that can compensate for disobedience. That's right. You can excuse yourself all you want to. I'm telling you, that type of justification will not compensate you for the disobedience. It's like Samuel said to Saul after Saul messed up in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice. And I'll tell you, the typical Christian thing is you mess up and then you go ask God for forgiveness. And you know what? That's wearisome. You don't confess your sins just so you can keep doing them over and over again, asking at the end of the day God to forgive you for them. You confess your sins so that you can acknowledge what you're doing is sin and change. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh his sin, see, shall be blessed. That's what you need to do. And that all comes from a matter of keeping the words of God, obeying the words of God. That's a very principal thing to do. Find out what he said, and then change your life accordingly, and keep those words. Obey God. The words of Jesus Christ are to be heard. That's what we're to do. We're to hear them. Then received and believed. We are to receive and believe them. That's when they go to work effectually. And then we are to obey them. Read what he says and do it. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, James says. All right, here's the fourth thing. Concerning the words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John, we are to be clean by his words. John 15:3. See, these all lay out in chronological order. It's kind of a neat deal. John 15:3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's what Jesus Christ said to his disciples. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. What this is the work of sanctification. John 17:17. Easy to remember because it's a double. The number of the chapter or the number of the verse are the same. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All right, so when you and I get saved, we're not clean. We're dirty. We're messed up with the filth of the world, bad thought life, bad actions, bad habits. You get saved, and you know what? We still have bad thoughts, bad actions, bad habits, bad words even. We say bad things. Right after we get saved, we're very little different than we were before we got saved, except now we're a saved sinner instead of a lost sinner, but we're still a sinner. And you know what starts happening? You get in the Bible and you start reading, and your life changes. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So we are defiled by our thoughts. We are defiled by the world every single day. So what we need to do is we need to get into the Bible every single day. It's like taking a shower and shaving and cleaning yourself, grooming yourself. You do so in the word of God. You know, you may be reading some things that don't seem to have a whole lot of spiritual direction for you on a particular day. But you're reading nevertheless because that's what you're supposed to do. You know what that word does? It has a cleansing effect on your life. It does. It keeps you clean in this defiled world. And so the cleansing agency is the Word of God. In other words, listen. Just getting in your Bible and reading it every day has a cleansing effect. And God loves a clean vessel. That's right. It is your daily sanctification in the words of God. So when you get the words of Jesus like we have, you want to get those in you every day, so that they will keep you clean. That's right. Keep you clean. We live in a bad world. And we still have the work of sin going on in our lives. There is still a devil very active in life, trying to knock us down. And the Word of God is just a tremendous thing to clean you up from the effects of all that stuff going on around you. And you need that. Listen, you're better off as a prepared messenger than you are with a prepared message. In other words, if you get cleaned up in the Word of God, God can do something with you. But if all you have is a message and a dirty vessel with a bad testimony, it's just really, really tough for God to get much done with you. All right? What are we to do with the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John? We're to hear his words. We are to receive and believe his words. We are to keep his words. We're to be clean by his words. And then the fifth thing, we are to remember his words. We are to remember his words. John chapter 15. Look at verse 20. It's what Jesus said to his disciples. Remember the word that I have said unto you. Isn't that something? Remember the word that I said unto you. And then what did he say? Remember, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But watch it. He starts that verse out by saying, remember the word that I said unto you. That's what you need to do. You need to remember it. Memorizing Scripture does a couple of really good things for you. Now, first of all, it gives you an arsenal with which God can speak to you throughout the day. People constantly want to know God's direction for their lives. Well, you know what? His direction is found in His words. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There you go. In other words, the word of God will help you put your foot down in the path going in the right direction where it needs to be placed down. And when you put your foot down on the path in the right spot, then your next step from there can be in the right direction. If you put your foot down in the wrong spot, then you've got to recover the ground you lost. You got to make that ground up and then try to get your foot to fall down in the right place. And if you don't, you're going to put your foot down in the wrong place. Bob Jones Sr. said, the best way to prepare for tomorrow is to do what you ought to do today. And the right road leads out at the right place. Those are two very famous sayings of his, and they're absolutely right. Well, how do you get your foot down in the right place? How do you do today what you ought to do so you're prepared for whatever God wants you to do tomorrow? You do that by following God's direction. And where is His direction found? It's found in the Word of God. That's where your light is. That's where your lamp is. In other words, the more Scripture that you memorize, the more words the Lord can bring to your remembrance to guide you. There you go. That's what He wants to do. He wants to guide you. I can remember and actually testify now. It's remarkable, really. There are times when I'm trying to sort out something and I'm praying. I'm walking and praying and sorting it out in my mind. And verses of Scripture will come to remembrance, verses that I've memorized, that absolutely become like a shining light on the very thing that I'm trying to decide. And you say, man, that is it. That is it. And I could describe so many instances, even in the last 6 months, where I was not sure what direction to go in a certain thing. I'd get out there and start praying with the Lord. And I'm not waiting for some voice. I'm not waiting for some impression. I'm not waiting for some, you know, God of the yes, no, and all that kind. Just waiting on God, putting it up before Him. And then the verses of Scripture start coming to mind. And boy, I mean, they are like turning the headlights on in your car and turning on the brights and turning on the fog lights and turning on the street lights so you can see clearly where you need to go. It's tremendous. And you know how that happens? It happens by memorizing Scripture. So as soon as you get reading in your Bible and you find verses in there that are great, just start memorizing those verses. They will absolutely speak to you when you need them. But I'll tell you something else. Another reason that we need to remember God's words is that memorizing Scripture gives you an arsenal, not only for the Lord to use to direct you, but it's an arsenal of verses you can use to quote to others who must hear a word from the Lord. And that brings us to the last point, which is to preach His words. In other words, God will give you something from the Bible that you can turn around and give to somebody else. That's right. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, the Bible tells us about the daily routine of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Why? So he could turn around and speak that to somebody else that was weary. So we need to preach His words. John chapter 17, where Jesus Christ is praying to His Father, verse 20. Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, John 17:20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me. Watch it. Through their word. Through their word. Okay. Well, Jesus got His words from God. We got our words from Jesus. And when we turn around and preach those words, somebody else gets Jesus' words from us. Wow, that's pretty good. Preach His words. That's what we are to do with the words of Jesus. We are to preach His words. We cannot keep the words of Jesus to ourselves. We must tell others. We must tell others what Jesus said so that they can come to Jesus and be saved. Now, the beauty of this is that we can rely upon the Holy Spirit to bring to our remembrance what we have memorized. In other words, you'll have this arsenal of verses of things that you've memorized, and you're wondering when and how and where you'll ever be able to use them. And you're out there talking to somebody, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit brings one of those things to mind. And when you quote it, it is amazing how the Spirit of God helps you quote it word perfect. Why? Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he wants you to get those things down right. And so John chapter 14, verse 26 shows you, John 14:26 shows you the work of the Spirit of God in bringing these things back to our remembrance. John chapter 14, verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Watch it. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That is so comforting. That is so reassuring. I have a friend of mine, and when she knows that she's going to be visiting with somebody that doesn't know the Lord yet, she'll pray while she's doing her Bible reading for several days in advance of their appointment. And she will ask the Lord to give her verses from the Scripture that she can then give to the person that she's going to talk to. And the Lord does. Things come to mind. And then when she sits down to talk with her friend, she can say, look, now the Lord has given me these verses for you. Wow, that is really powerful. I know on one occasion, for 5 months, as often as she could, she would go by and see a particular woman whose name was Anna, and she would pray and ask the Lord to give her verses of Scripture to give to Anna. After 5 months of visiting with Anna from time to time, whenever she could set up an appointment, God used those verses to bring Anna to the Lord Jesus Christ, and Anna is saved today. You know what? People are saved by believing the words of God after they hear them. Where are they going to hear them? They're going to hear them from you. You and I must be the preachers. So you know, when you read the Gospel of John, this little sermon just lays out beautifully in chronological order the things that we are supposed to do with the words of Jesus. Hear them, receive and believe them, keep them, be clean by them, remember them, and then preach them. And I pray God will bless you as you do these things in your life. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.